You know, ever since we started at Bunch of Nuts, people have been asking me and Big Cass for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I really don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you gotta check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to be with my bookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. So, if you want to bet on Appalachian State beating Penn State week one, this is the place to go. I mean, hey, it is the 11th year anniversary, and, you know, that team up north didn't have a good time with them a while back. But if you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code NUTS. It's uppercase N, lowercase UTS to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, and don't forget to use promo code NUTS when creating your account and claim up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, you get paid. We have a great show this week. Tennessee Jeff's coming on to make a prediction. It's going to be a great show. Can't wait. Oregon State preview. Let's do it. All right. Hello and welcome to our 16th episode of A Bunch of Nuts. It's our JT Barrett episode. And Big Cass, we are 2 days away.
Yes, we are 2 days away from Ohio State thrashing Oregon State. I can't wait. I've been counting down for a long time.
I'm 100% sure we're going to win. I just don't know if we're going to cover the spread. That's the biggest thing I'm worried about.
I think we'll cover the spread. More and more I think about it, I think we'll cover the spread. I've been changing my prediction, and before we get to the end of the show, I'll probably change it again. So, because that's just who I am. So, I think this team's going to be great.
I mean, I'm expecting a couple mistakes week one because it is week one, and there is going to be slip-ups. But, I mean, they say good teams win, but great teams cover. And I want Ohio State not to be good this year. I want them to be great, Big Cass. You know, I want them to come out there and make a statement on national TV, you know, that noon game against Oregon State. I can't wait, man. It's so close.
It is so close. I just posted up on my Facebook and Twitter. It is Mike Dotson and Malcolm Jenkins Day. When you get into these low-digit numbers where a lot of great players, you kind of have to space it around. I mean, look at my number seven. If you go back to 7 days away, I had four guys there.
Yeah, it was, who was it? It was Ginn, Cornelius Green, oh my gosh. There's so many big casts.
Joe Germain and Chris Gamble.
Oh, wow. Chris Gamble. Funny thing about Chris Gamble, actually, I met one of his cousins at a Falcons-Panthers game in Georgia. His cousin drove down, I believe, from Ohio, and when he was playing on the Panthers, they were playing the Falcons a couple years ago for basically the NFC South, and I was there. And I was kind of a neutral dude because I really don't like both teams. I'm a Broncos fan. And I was telling him, oh, I'm a huge Buckeyes fan now. And he's like, oh, that's crazy. My cousin's Chris Gamble. He's on the field right there. But nice guy, nice guy. Kind of off topic, but let's get into our Cardell Jones Tweet of the Week.
So, go ahead.
So, his name is Ramsey Nasrallah. I believe he does stuff with 11 Warriors. His handle's at Ramsey, R-A-M-Z-Y. He writes, solid effort here. And Big Cass, I hate to do this to you. It was a video of a player on the Bengals just running into his own guy on a punt return and absolutely crushing his dude. It was the funniest thing I've seen. But he did get. But if you watch from another angle, he technically got blocked into him. But the video this dude posted looks like he just destroys his own guy.
Yeah, I happened to see that. That was really funny and just. Oh man, it was really funny. Unfortunately, it was a Bengals guy, but yeah. My Cardale Jones Tweet of the Week goes out to Adam Scheffler when he reported that Teddy Bridgewater got traded to the New Orleans Saints and tweeted out that the Jets were on their way to a game and dropped Teddy Bridgewater off on the side of the road. That is Cardale Jones Tweet of the Week.
Dude, that was the funniest thing I've seen, I think, in like a month. I was eating lunch with my girlfriend. And she's a diehard Jets fan, and all of a sudden she just started cracking up. And I'm like, why are you laughing? They're like, apparently they're on a bus, and they just left Teddy Bridgewater on the side of the road. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the most Jets thing ever. I can't, man. That was the funniest thing I think I've seen in a while.
Yeah, it was. I feel for Jason Berry, because JT was actually, I think, primed to be Drew Brees' backup, and now they bring in Teddy Bridgewater. Did J.T. Barrett not progress enough for the Saints, or are they going to keep him on the practice squad so he can learn from Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Brees? We'll find out. I mean, but that could possibly be the end of J.T. Barrett in New Orleans.
I honestly, Big Cass, I think it could be a good sign for J.T. Barrett, because Teddy Bridgewater and J.T. Barrett kind of play a similar style of quarterback. So I'm thinking maybe they're looking kind of towards the future, and once maybe this could be Drew Brees' last season, and then they are probably going to go roll with Teddy Bridgewater, but they might mold JT Barrett into that backup that, you know, could play the same style offense as Teddy Bridgewater. I think they'll keep him on the practice squad at least, and then maybe mold him. That's my guess.
Yeah, that could be possibly true. We'll see. I don't know. It could be a tough call.
It is. I mean, and I know the other quarterback he was competing with, Taysom Hill, he's kind of a freak athlete, that dude. That dude, like, runs down on kick coverage. Like, I've never seen a quarterback make tackles, like, on defense like that. That dude is a beast.
Yeah, he is.
But
he is.
As we wait for Tennessee Jeff, we're going to call him soon. We're going to get his prediction. It's going to be a great, quick little interview. But we have a Who's In we wanted to do in honor of game day, really, Big Cass. It's going to be the Who's In of pregame traditions. You recommended this.
Yeah, my cousin actually recommended this. It was actually pretty cool. It's too early for me. I know it's too early for you. You're an hour behind me. I got some things on my mind. I forget what it was. Oh, yeah, I found it. It says, okay, so my cousin Jordan is a student at Ohio State, everybody, and he came up with a great first in and first out that we've been doing. Our favorite pregame game day tradition, meaning... what do we do to get ready for game day? And obviously my first top four, man, jam to the best damn band in the land music all morning or all day. I mean, if it's an 8 o'clock game, the night before I lay out my game outfit, even though it's most likely the same outfit until it gets colder, cause I'm very superstitious. I have to wear the same socks. I have to wear same socks, same shoes, same jersey, same undershirt under the jersey, and the same shorts.
Every game of the year, you have to do that?
No, That's my superstition.
Wow. You believe in superstitions? Yeah. I'm not like a superstitious guy with that, Big Cass. I'm like, I know some people are. I don't believe in that stuff for some reason.
So when it comes to the Buckeyes, I am very. I never bet on the Buckeyes. I never placed any bet on the Buckeyes. That's just who I am. I also go to Skull. I pray for a victory every morning when I wake up. I'll pray for a victory that day. I go if I'm going to the game, or if I'm going up on campus. Pop in the Skull session for a little bit, so I can hear the pregame and postgame pregame stuff. I don't really, you know, they do amazing things with the halftime show, but I don't want to see them just sit there and play the music for halftime. Tailgate and then take a shot or Jack and chase it with a beer, man.
That's a deadly combo right there, Big Cass.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to go from my first two out and then work my way up. So number six, I got the game day breakfast. Sometimes it's a bagel. Sometimes it's a great breakfast from, what was the place that sponsored Urban Meyer? Bob Evans. Oh my gosh, I drew a blank. Bob Evans. Love my Bob Evans breakfast, though. Sometimes it's a water and Advil, depending on how the night went before, though. My number five is deciding what jersey/outfit to wear. I like to lay my stuff out the night before. Toughest decision to make, Big Cass, but I'm not that superstitious about it. My number four, struggling to get the keg working. This is like probably should be up there because it's just probably my biggest tradition. Every time we get a keg from me and my friends, we don't get it always, but like the one time of the year we get it, never works. So that's a tradition that is like none other. Number three, tossing the pigskin and trying to act like Odell Beckham on Lane Avenue when everyone's just looking at me like, what is this moron doing?
Yeah, that's funny.
I got the pre-stadium walk, and it's either a funneling or shotgunning of a beer or another type of beverage. So always got to take one for the road with you because I don't feel like paying $10 in the shoe for a beer. And then finally, number one, I think we all agree on this, waking up to the Buckeye fight song. And I like to play in the shower on repeat, man. Like, that's what I do.
I do too, man.
Yeah.
I cycle through the same 4 or 5 songs.
I honestly probably play, like, the Across the Field, and I play Carmen in the shower. That gets me hyped enough. I don't go through the whole playlist. I just keep recycling back and back.
All right.
But we also have our ACC SEC preview Big Cast this week, and I've been really immersed in the SEC/ACC culture this week. Now, you're going to Northwestern and Purdue later tonight, but I've been down in SEC-ACC territory, kind of, you know, really immersing myself in the culture, trying to really understand the mind of these fans.
Well, before we do that, we have the Tennessee Jeff Weekly Crazy Prediction coming up.
He's ready?
Yes.
Yes, let's do it.
I'm going to get him on the phone here.
Oh, I'm so excited. So excited. It's going to be awesome. I mean, the last time we talked to him, things were way, way different, Big Cass.
All right. We got Tennessee Jeff. Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
How am I doing? Oh, I can't even put it into words. It's Thursday at 9. What do we got? We got 51 hours till we kick it off, and I'm jazzed up. It officially starts for me today because I got stuff going on all day and night, today and tomorrow. And so my waiting's over. My 8-month wait is over since last, whatever it was, January 1st or whatever. Whenever we were in Dallas down at the Cotton Bowl, so I'm ready to go, man. Yeah, we are too. We're just, jazzed up. It's Malcolm Jenkins, Mike Doss Day, two great Buckeyes.
Yes, sir.
But, excuse me, we got some crazy predictions out of you. What's the crazy prediction for this week, man?
I'll give you a couple, then I'll give you my score at the end, if that's how you guys want to do it. I think, you know what, let's just start with a bang, man. Here's my score, and this isn't smoke. I know we're ticked. I talked to parents. I talked to players. They're pissed. They're mad. They're angry. They're hungry. I've seen so many things, so many different predictions, and I really didn't watch any TV three days straight after the decision to suspend Coach Meyer, I just thought that would, you know, be better for me personally. But I've watched the last couple of days on BTN and that other network as far as where they think we'll be ranked, you know, come the end of the season. And, you know, I'm hearing second, third in the East. So all that matters. It's us against the world. These coaches, these players, they're ticked off. We're gonna beat the. Listen, you guys remember when you were little? You ever get real mad? And you have like a punching bag or something downstairs in the basement. You get out and you just punch the crap out of it just because you're a little ticked off. Oregon State's our punching bags, and God bless them. I'm sure they're a great bunch of guys, but we're gonna beat them so bad. Here's my prediction for the score. And I mean this. I mean this from my heart. 76-6. We scored 10 touchdowns. We get a couple. We score. Our punter does not see the field once, and they get maybe a two field goals if they're lucky. Chase Young off the edge, Bose off the other edge, Landers in the middle. Good luck stopping our D line. Our D line will get 9 sacks tomorrow. There's my crazy prediction. I think they'll get 9 sacks. I think our ends will get half of them. I think they'll get at least 4 or 5 sacks. We're going to just demolish this team. Again, they won one game last season, but it's not. Whoever we play on Saturday, it doesn't matter who it is, we're crushing them just because of where we're at psychologically and what we've had to deal with in the last 6 weeks. And it matters, man. It matters. I'm telling you, it matters. And they're angry, and they want to just take it out, and they're going to take it out on the guys who ever line up against them Saturday at noon.
Yeah, those are some crazy predictions, my friend. And I went as far as saying 45-10, blah blah blah, but I've also said 56-10. So who knows? But I'm right there with you. This kid could play with a chip on their shoulder. They're hungry, and people say they don't listen to media, but they do. And
of course they do. They do. I'm telling you, I know they do. They listen to them. And I'm going to tell you something else. We're going to have 45 points by halftime. Because if you think about it, they'll bring Tate in. Tate, he wants to prove that. Listen. This is starting our 129th season of Ohio State Buckeye football. I'm willing to say this is our most talented team we have ever put on the field. Ever. And the most deepest. The deepest.
You're going to say even more than our national championship team?
Yes, yes.
Team was loaded.
Yes, deeper. I guarantee you they're deeper. I just think we're going to get an upgrade at the quarterback position. Instead of, you know, Zeke Elliott was a hell of a ball player, but you got two guys back there that are hungry, and they'll both run for over 1,000. This is our deepest wide receiver core we've ever had in the history of our story, 128 year ever, man. I'm talking not five, I'm talking ever. This is the deepest wide receiving core, and watch and see. I'm telling you right now, this season can go one of two ways. I mean, let's be real. It could derail, and I've seen it happen with his teams before down in Florida. It can derail, and they can lose three. You know, they could get beat a few times, or they just don't lose the game. And I'm telling you right now. I interviewed with that NBC or something 2 weeks ago. I don't think they're losing. Not once.
Yeah, knowing that they'll have Urban Meyer back. Actually, they'll have him back Sunday. You know, he can't coach a game.
That's right. That's huge, man.
Honestly, I really like just the way Ryan Day and Greg Schiano have talked. When Urban Meyer finally retires, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen either next year, if it's 5-8 years down the road.
That's right.
I want Ryan Day as our coach in waiting. That guy is I think he's a great motivator, well-spoken.
Great motivator.
And a great coach.
Well-spoken. He's got, I know Schiano. And I talked to Greg and Pantone the other day, and they just can't say enough good things about him. He's very, like you said, you nailed it. He's well spoken, and he's very put together. Let's see what he does, man. Again, he's got a lot of coordinators that are, you know, he's got one on each side of the ball that's been head coaches before, and big time. One's in the NFL, and the other guy's in the NFL. I mean, these guys are good coaches. You got. I think you've got the best staff in America. We're fine tomorrow or Saturday. We're definitely fine Rutgers. And then we go to TCU. And you know what? I don't even think that TCU game is going to be close. I just think they can't stop anybody. And I think we're going to beat them by 3 touchdowns. And then it's Tulane. And holy God, I feel bad. But we'll get to that bridge in a few weeks. But Tulane's going to be ugly. It's going to be real ugly. And then we go to Happy Valley. We're good, man. We're good. We're going to be just fine.
All right. Thank you, Tennessee Jeff. I will see you Saturday bright and early at the Blackwell. Thanks for inviting me over. I will see you then.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the Tennessee Jeff.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, wait. We've got one more question. Dan has one more question about your Facebook post this morning.
Oh, yeah. Were you,
which one?
The stadium. Did you sneak into the shoe again?
Of course. That wasn't this morning, but it was recently. So I, like we talked about, that's not real hard to do. That's like sneaking into the bathroom. It's not hard to do. What people don't know is you're allowed to go in there and look around. I just tend to take it a step further and jump on the field. But yeah, that was me running. Hey, listen, man, I gotta drop 20 pounds and be ready for the season. I got a few more to go, so I'm ready to go, and I can't wait till this thing kicks off Saturday. Blackwell Hotel. The team comes out of the Blackwell 9:30 to walk over to St. John's. I'll be there from 8:30 to 9:30, and just look for me.
Sounds
all
great.
Right, man, I'll take the call. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. That was awesome. I'm psyched now. Like he's got me juiced.
Is that you probably fixing that prediction that you texted me last night, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I was honestly afraid to tell him that I thought we weren't going to cover the spread. He's that passionate. I didn't have the heart to tell him.
Yeah. All right, that was a crazy prediction. The 9 sacks is the crazy prediction of the week. I can see it,
too. Like, it's not that outrageous, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say that Haskins is going to throw for 450 and throw for, like, 8 touchdowns or something.
I could totally see 9 sacks. Like, I could see, like, Bosa getting 3 or 4, Chase Young 2, I'm going to say Bosa 4, Chase Young 2, Landers 1, so what is that, 7, Draymond Jones 1, and Jonathan Cooper 1. I think that puts us at 9.
All right, let's jump into ACC, SEC stuff, man.
Oh, yeah. Big Cass, this week, right now I'm recording, not, I guess, live, but from Panama City, Florida, down in the middle of SEC territory. Also got the chance to visit an ACC college. You know, we might know him a little as Clemson University. Was there for a night on my way down here, but really, really interesting stuff I gathered from some of these fans, and I'm ready to talk about it. But I'll let you start because you sent in the document of all our notes, so you can lead it off, buddy.
All right, I'm going to do it the ACC first because this could be kind of our bash in the SEC. We could just go right into the SEC. So let's start with the ACC. In the ACC Coastal, everybody's predicting Miami, but this guy. I got Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech's going to be the surprise in the ACC. They're going to have a great season, and I think Virginia Tech's going to win the ACC Coastal. Miami will finish second. I'm going North Carolina finishing third. I know they got some suspended players, but I think Antonio Williams, the former Buckeye, is ready to get those wheels a-trucking and wheels a-turning, and North Carolina is going to be another surprise. I think Georgia Tech finishes fourth. Them and Georgia, North Carolina and Georgia Tech are the coin flips to finish third and fourth. And then there's just a big fall-off between Virginia, Pitt, and Duke. That'd be my ACC Coastal, Virginia Tech taking it. I know everybody's talking about the turnover chain, Miami, but I think Virginia Tech got a better talented team.
I literally have the same exact thing as you. Did you take my notes?
No, these are my notes.
Oh, I thought you had Miami at first. And did you switch it?
No, I had Virginia Tech.
Oh. Oh, okay, yeah, I have VTT. I literally have the same exact standings as you. I went through and tried to change it. I guess great minds think alike, because I, too, have the same exact order.
Well, Virginia, Pitt, and Duke, them three, any of them three are going to finish dead last in the division. I was just going by the top of my head with those three.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think Georgia Tech is always going to be a middle-of-the-road team. They're always like 8-5, or 8-4, 7-5.
Yeah, I mean, at first I had Georgia Tech finishing third before I sent this whole document to you, and then I was like, oh, wait, Antonio Williams is there. So I was like, I think he's going to be ready to go, and I think they're going to upset some teams.
Agreed, Big Cass. Who do you got in the Atlantic?
Obviously, I have Clemson, but I have Florida State finishing second, along with NC State, Boston College, Louisville, Syracuse, Wake Forest. I think Clemson is the best team, obviously, by far in the ACC. Florida State's got Willie Taggart as their head coach, and he'll have them playing better. I think Kelly Bryant's going to play with a chip on his shoulder. Everybody's talking about, I think, is it Hunter's, I can't think of his last name.
Renfro.
The quarterback at Clemson. I think Kelly Bryant's going to play with a chip shorter. He's going to play very well for Clemson. And that D-line is just like the Buckeyes. It's very dangerous. And I'm going Clemson winning the ACC Atlantic easy. But I got Florida State finishing second.
You think, like, all right, obviously I have Clemson winning the ACC. But I will say this. Their schedule is trash, man. Like, you got to look at this. They have one ranked team, and it's Florida State. Everyone else is basically, like, a middle school team. It's a joke.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. And I've got Clemson winning the ACC, and I've got Kelly Bryant winning the ACC Player of the Year just because, like I said, he's going to play with a chip on his shoulder. He's going to win the ACC Player of the Year. And I got Willie Taggart, the Florida State head coach, winning Coach of the Year.
I have, in the Atlantic, I have Clemson, and then followed by NC State. I think they're going to be sneaky good this year. Then Boston College is my third team. I think they're on the rise. They got a good running back, like their coach, Adazio, Urban Meyer disciple. Florida State, I have him finishing fourth in the Atlantic. I don't think Willie Taggart, I think he's got to prove himself. I'm not sold on him. Then I got Syracuse, Louisville, Wake Forest, whatever order. That doesn't matter. My ACC champ, though, Big Cass, Virginia Tech.
Wow.
I'm going with it. I'm all on the Josh Jackson train.
I like Josh Jackson myself. I almost put him as winning the Player of the Year. But, like I said, Kelly Bryant and Josh Jackson are probably the two guys could very easily win the ACC Player of the Year. I think just with Kelly Bryant, he knows what's behind him, and he's going to play very well.
Yeah, I got Josh Jackson winning the Player of the Year. Kelly Bryant, though, I think, honestly, it's such a QB controversy. I feel like he has one bad game, and Trevor Lawrence is now the starter. So I'm kind of and Coach of the Year, I got NC State head coach Dave Doran. I think they're going to be sneaky good. I think at one point they might honestly lead the ACC Atlantic, because I think Clemson is going to drop a game here or there. I think they're going to get upset by someone random, and I think NC State is going to be a decent team.
All right, let's jump over to the Southeastern crap. All right, man. The West. I'm going to start with the West because it's the easiest division. Mm-hmm. I got Alabama winning it. I think they'll drop a game,
in the West, but I think just between LSU, Auburn, Texas A&M, I think them guys will beat each other up, and Alabama's only going to lose to one of them. But I'm going to go with Alabama. I'm going with LSU and the Fighting Joe Burrows at number two. I think LSU's finally got a decent, good quarterback down there, and I think the team that's going to beat Alabama is going to beat LSU, right? It's going to be a job that keeps Coach O's. It's going to be a game that keeps Coach Orgeron's job, in my opinion. And then I'm going Auburn, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas in the West.
I got Auburn winning the SEC West.
And I mean, it could happen. I mean, I don't know. Auburn's really good, but they are. It depends what they do in Washington. I may change it if they go out and just Washington just completely lays an egg and Auburn just destroys them. Then I may change. You know, I could change it in my mind. But as of right now, I just think LSU is gonna be better than what people think, and I think LSU finishes second. But hey, that's your predict. That's why we're different.
Oh yeah. And then I got, obviously, Alabama second. It basically just comes down to the Iron Bowl. I'm not saying Auburn's going to have more losses than Alabama. I think, honestly, Auburn could lose to Washington, but it could be like a situation like last year where Auburn wins the Iron Bowl and one of their two losses is at a conference, so it doesn't hurt them in the SEC. And then they basically run the table otherwise. They might drop one to, like, LSU or Ole Miss or someone, but they beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl, because I think Stidham's a pretty good quarterback and probably honestly one of the best quarterbacks they've had since Cam Newton. And then they have a pretty good receiving trio too, so I think they have a good shot to beat Bama.
Yeah, I do too. I think LSU beat Bama. It just comes down to if LSU beat Auburn or vice versa.
Who do you got in the East, Big Cass?
In the East, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, Kentucky, Mizzou, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. I have Georgia winning the SEC overall, and Jake Fromm, the quarterback, won the Player of the Year, and Will Muschamp getting Coach of the Year out of South Carolina. I think the East maybe it will be stronger this year, but it's going to be so top-heavy with South Carolina, Florida, and Georgia, but I think Georgia's obviously the best choice to pick here.
Yeah, I got Georgia and South Carolina. I agree with those two. Basically, my order's the same, except I want to flip Kentucky and Florida. I think Kentucky might honestly finish third in that division because they got Benny Snell Jr., who is my SEC Player of the Year. This guy is a stud, Big Cass. He might honestly be the best running back in this draft class. I actually took him in fantasy last night as my second-round pick. He eats this guy. He's from Columbus, too. Yeah, I guess that basically does it for the SEC, ACC preview. But let's bash them a little.
I do think that Georgia makes the college football playoff, and I also think that Clemson makes the college football playoff.
I don't think Clemson makes it. I really don't. I think because their schedule's so bad, I just don't see them justifying that if they lose a game or two.
Well, those are my champions, and I was picking them to go to the playoff. Just like I said Oklahoma's going to go to the playoff. Out of the Big 12, I think the Pac-12 gets snubbed. And obviously, I think Ohio State wins the Big 10 and gets into the college football playoff. So my college football playoff is set with Oklahoma, Clemson, and Georgia, and Ohio State.
I like it. I like that. I got, obviously, Ohio State. I'm going to take Auburn, Stanford, and I'm going to take Virginia Tech.
All right.
My prediction's so out there, but I can't be like every national media dude who picks the state, Alabama, Clemson, you know.
I didn't pick Alabama.
Oh, I know. But, like, I feel like everyone at ESPN's always like, oh, give me – it's Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and then, like, maybe a Big Ten team or Georgia.
Yeah. All right, let's bash this SEC.
I just want to – I'm not going to bash him, but I just want to say how much in trouble they are now that Joe Burrow is the starting quarterback. I mean, this guy's going to go out and just – put on a show. He's got a chip on his shoulder, and I can't wait for Joe Burrow, man, to go out there and prove the SEC wrong, and everyone who says that, you know, the Big Ten can't play good football, guess what? We've got our knight in shining armor down there in LSU. He's going to ride into Death Valley, and he's going to spank Alabama under the lights.
I hope so. I picked LSU to win. I mean, I think LSU beating Alabama saves Coach Orgeron's job, like I said. And Joe Burrow was fighting to be the quarterback at Ohio State and then transferred to LSU. So I we'll find out what LSU's all about against Miami. And LSU by far has one of the toughest schedules in the SEC. So
I was actually talking to an LSU fan, and he was pretty excited that Joe Burrow was starting. And he's like, what is he good at? And I'm just like, he's like good at everything. He's a little good, like he's like picking Mario and Super Smash Brothers. Like he doesn't have one great move, but like he's consistent at like everything. The dude, like I genuinely think Joe Burrow is going to be a really really good quarterback in the SEC this year. He's going to be at least a top three quarterback. Obviously, you got whoever the Bama quarterback is, and probably Stidham. But I think Joe Burrow is going to come out here and really harness this offense and really take LSU to, you know, take it to its potential.
Okay. I didn't have anything to bash the SEC because there's nothing right now. We'll find out after this weekend. Next week should be fun when it comes to bashing the SEC because can there be another upset like Jacksonville State over Auburn? Like they did a few years ago. So, hey, I mean,
never forget.
Exactly, and I'm sure the SEC has a team that plays tonight. So, but it's probably like Ole Miss versus Mississippi State Tech A&M.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Mississippi State because that's like their rivalry, man.
I said it's like Mississippi State Texas. I mean. Mississippi State A&M Tech University of Phoenix.
You know, honestly, though, might be the worst rivalry name in all of sports is the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't get it. I'm not.
There's nothing. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you're the Bulldogs and the Rebels, but now you know, Ole Miss's mascot is the Shark. Which doesn't make sense because they're not near body of water besides the Mississippi River.
I mean, they have the coast at the bottom, but like it's the Gulf Coast. Like there isn't really anything because like the BP oil spill. It's just all like dead there.
Yeah.
There's no sharks. It's just salt. I don't know. let's get into some football news, Big Cass. Ohio State has released their Week 1 depth chart. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it, but it was interesting.
Yeah, it was. I mean, before the depth chart came out, I knew who some of the starters, like Michael Jordan playing center. 6'7", 3'10", center. Oh, my gosh.
I do feel bad for Brady Taylor a little.
I mean, he's going to play. I think he wasn't contending, but like Ryan Day said, he got banged up a little bit, and I see where Coach Ryan Day and all these guys are going with. I mean, you got to go with your five best linemen. And listen to this, Dan. This is the offensive line and who's going to start. If Thayer Mumford, Thayer Mumford or Josh Alabi. One of them two start. Look at the weight. Mumford's 319. Obby's 300. Malcolm Prigon's going to start at left guard. He's 315. Michael Jordan, center, 310. Demetrius Knox, right guard, 308. Isaiah Prince, 310. Wow.
Monsters.
That's the Big Ten beef right there.
Why would we even throw the ball?
I don't know. And then your tight end, 250, and Rashad Berry, 259.
I mean, like, we're just gonna blow teams off the ball this year. Like, that's not even fair. That's literally bigger than most NFL lines. It's definitely bigger than the Browns. We've already talked about this.
Yeah, Ohio State and Wisconsin has the biggest line. And by hope, Ohio State's defensive line going against Wisconsin is because of the size of the line. But I was quite – the most interesting thing that I saw on the depth chart was the two most interesting things. Jonathan Cooper possibly starting over Chase Young, and then Pete Warner starting at linebacker, at the outside linebacker position.
Yeah, he kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, my question is, so when Tough Borland comes back and Baron Browning starting right now in place of him, do you think they kind of move Baron Browning over to where Pete Warner is, or do you think Pete Warner keeps that position?
I think they move Baron Browning over to Pete Warner. I think Pete Warner knows I think these guys know the role. But like Shiano said, this is the first year that they can rotate linebackers because the depth is better. And I agree. I mean, I'm looking at these. You're looking at Justin Hillier, Tough Borland, Keandre Jones, Dante Booker, who I thought he was off the face of the earth when it comes to Buckeyes. Malik Harrison, you're looking at a deep linebacker group, and this is the first time they can actually sit and rotate where it's not just Jerome Baker and all them guys.
Yeah, man. And then on top of it, we got Isaiah Pryor. I guess he won the safety battle, or at least is getting the first chance to win it. My question for you, Big Cass, is over under two targeting ejections for Isaiah Pryor this season.
Oh, I'm going over.
Me too. And you can bet that with my bookie. We just gotta put that in. You know, we are now sponsored by MyBookie. Remember, use promo code NUTS, NUTS, to activate your code there. But, yeah, I think Isaiah Pryor, man, he's going to pop some people across the middle. I'm sorry for any Big Ten receivers coming across the middle. I would not want to get hit by that guy.
Yeah, definitely. I think the kicker situation, Nuremberger's going to take the place kicker. I mean, it's going to do the field goals, and the place kicker is going to be Blake Cowbell, because we all know Nuremberger can't kick the ball inbounds.
He can't, dude. I'm still scarred from that Penn State game.
He's a good field goal kicker. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand how you can, like, kick it in the air through a little upright, but you can't just, like, place it on the field. He gets like the yips or something. I've never seen it.
And I thought it was interesting that CJ Saunders was the backup holder.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Who's the starter?
Drew Chrisman.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And then the punt returners are DeMario McCall and CJ Saunders. Kick returners, DeMario McCall and Johnny Dixon. I predict over under. McCall takes back a punt, just a combined punt return and kickoff return. I think three or four for touchdown.
Wow. I'd be happy with like one or two, but.
Season.
Wow. I'd be.
That's combined. I mean, Ginn did that a lot.
I think, honestly, I would not be shocked if he takes one or two back. Honestly, definitely, he's going to take one or two back by Rutgers, man. He kills Rutgers every year.
Yeah, I think he's going to do one this Saturday.
That'd be awesome. I mean, I'm just glad he's healthy again, to be honest.
That's short, man.
And so let's preview Oregon State a little. So we kind of touched on this, but do we think they beat the spread? I'm not really sure. I'm going to say, I guess, yes now after listening to our buddy Tennessee Jeff. He's got me juiced, like I said. You said yes, they do. But, Big Cass, Do we know any players on Oregon State? I mean, I kind of did some research. It's tough, but let's talk about them, I guess.
Yeah, they were the worst team in the FBS last year. Am I saying that right? Not FCS. They were the worst team in college football last year at 1-11. They did play Stanford tough, but they got a new head coach from Washington, offensive coordinator. He's going to win some ball games. I just think coming in the shoe, after everything that's happened with the Buckeyes, it's going to be hard for him to cover the spread. He's going to be all right. You just got to give him a chance. But playing the Buckeyes as your first game is going to be tough.
Yeah, I saw a tweet, and it was like, These poor kids from Oregon State have to wake up like 5 a.m. their time to walk into the shoe and basically get slaughtered by a pissed off Ohio State team.
Yeah. So, keep in mind, 2 years ago they played Michigan really tough up there in the Big House.
Yeah, but Michigan probably was like, "Oh my gosh, we just beat Oregon State by 7 points. Look out, Ohio State, you're next." Every year. I remember last year when they beat Air Force by like 2 touchdowns after basically, you know, being in a dogfight all game, and all the fans were like, "Yeah, you're next, Ohio State," as we know, as we're taking down Army by like 35.
Yeah. So.
But I guess Oregon State, they have two decent players. They have a tight end, Noah Tugai. I'm not sure if he's related to Tommy Tugai. I believe it's spelled the same exact way. He led their team receiving last year. He's a little nicked up right now, though. I'm not sure if he's going to play. Honestly, wouldn't be shocked if they hold him out against Ohio State. And they got Artavis Pierce. He's their starting running back. He's supposed to be pretty decent. I just know him because in fantasy they were projecting him pretty high to be a decent player. So we'll see about those two guys.
Yeah, I don't know much about Oregon State, but they, those guys you mentioned are talented, so we'll see.
Yeah, basically, I guess if this was NCAA 18, those would be the two guys that would have the little star underneath them.
Probably.
Yeah. You got any, so let's get into your segment, Big Cass, your Big Cass recruiting update. You got anything for us?
Just the kid from Tennessee decommitted. Didn't really give a reason why, but he opened up his recruitment, and I don't have the things in front of me because, you know, as you guys know, I'm getting ready to leave for 14 Bullets. Is headed up to West Lafayette, but the kid decommitted from Ohio State, but that's only one. Other than that, ain't much recruiting news going out right now as we get started the season.
Sounds good, my man. Thank you for that, though. Yeah, it's a big thing. Kane Patterson, he kind of randomly left. I think we could kind of piece together why, but I'm not gonna speculate any more on that. But let's get into our Love to See It, Hate to See It segment, Big Cass. What I love to see, Big Cass, was the Hawaii versus Colorado State game. It just felt good. It just felt good. I know the game really didn't mean anything, but, you know, I turned it on. It was a blowout, and shout out to Colorado State to, you know, kind of making it a decent game to watch. They fought. They tried to come back. They were definitely short, but they made the game fun to watch, and I was just glad to watch some real good, competitive, meaningful football.
Yeah, it was nice and stuff, and my love to see it is going to a college football game tonight. Purdue Northwestern, a Big Ten game. Two teams that are on the ride. One team's got riding an 8-game winning streak, and one team has been a bottom stellar team of the Big Ten, and they're on the rise with Jeff Rom. I cannot wait. Look on for our 14 Bullets podcast pregame, halftime, and postgame updates.
You got
Twitter and Facebook.
You gotta get a picture of those train tracks, man. Have you seen the sidelines in the end zone, everything? They like painted them different, like to look like train tracks.
Yeah, we are actually sitting in the one end zone of the game, kind of catty corner to the field, the tickets are weird. It's like we're in section 114. It's really weird how they have it set up. I'm gonna look at it real quick. Let's see here.
While you're looking, Big Cass, my hate to see it was Michael Kendricks of the Browns got he's I guess getting charged with insider trading. So you really hate to see that, man. That was
he got cut last night.
Yeah, I know. That's all. That stinks, man. Insider trading. Oh my gosh! Like, I mean, I felt bad because it's like I saw a tweet. It's like, oh, the Browns, they stuck with a coach that's 1-31. They stuck with a dude who's basically addicted to the marijuana and, you know, alcohol and Josh Gordon. But the first chance that they cut a guy who admitted he did some insider trading, like, less than 24 hours after it came out. So you hate to see that. I was expecting the Browns to give this guy a chance, but it is what it is.
All right, yeah. Here is the here it is. This is really weird. Okay, section 114, row 1, seat 104.
Okay.
Isn't that weird? Like 104, like they have one row going clear across the stadium or something. That's how they do it, or I don't know.
Oh. Okay. I'm trying to picture this. I can't picture that.
They have it in sections, probably, and then instead of doing each section having different rows like the horseshoe does, they probably go the first row, all you're in row one, clear across the stadium.
That's weird. Okay, so it's not, maybe it's like Michigan Stadium, like it's just like a circular bowl?
Yeah, but theirs is kind of like a horseshoe also, but yeah, but my hate to see it this week is, wow, I don't really have much of a hate to see because with college football starting, I hate to see that John McCain passed away last Sunday, American hero, American veteran, spent time in Congress. I voted for him in 2008, and you just hate to see that. But I do, glad to see that he's no longer suffering with the brain cancer.
Yeah, you hate to see brain cancer. My grandpa actually, he passed away from a tumor in his brain. That was really sad a couple years ago. And just knowing what his family's gone through, definitely prayers to the McCain family. That's always tough. It's really, that stinks, man.
Yeah.
But let's cheer ourselves up a little. Let's find out what that team up north is up to.
Well, they're headed to South Bend. they're headed to South Bend for fight for the first time in 3 years that these two teams will lock up. It's gonna be a great game. And last night on 14 Bullets, I predicted Notre Dame to win by a touchdown. Just because the unknown of Shea Patterson. I mean, yeah, he played at Ole Miss, but everybody is still an unknown.
I'm so excited for the overhyped bowl to be back, Big Cass. It is an American tradition like none other. Michigan, Notre Dame getting those absurdly high preseason rankings. One of them's going to win this game, and they're going to be top, mark my words, they're going to be top five by week two. And then the team that's top five is going to then drop their next game. It's the overhype bowl. I love it, Big Cass. I need more of this. I mean, it's going to be a fun game to watch. I'm going to be at a wedding, but I'm probably going to sneak out as much as I can to get a look at this game, or if not, pull it up on my phone. But I want to give a shout-out to Desmond Howard for picking Michigan to win the national championship and putting them as his one seed in the playoff. You, sir, are an animal.
Yeah, we gave you the benefit of the doubt when you said that Urban Meyer is going to keep his job. There's no way they're firing him. And then you come out and pull this stunt. Come on.
I can't believe he did that. Like, I was
no,
like...
They did.
I was like, wow. Like a week ago, I was like, wow, Desmond Howard, he's a really reasonable human being. I don't mind this guy. And then he comes and does this. I'm like, nope. Everything he just did a week ago, gone.
Yeah. And then they lose their top receiver for the season. I don't have his name talking about it. I'm not well prepared, folks.
Tariq Black. He, like, didn't he hurt his foot?
Yeah, he's out for the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good. So I guess it's going to be all Donovan Peoples-Jones, really.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what that team up north is up to. They're always up to something great. But as we kind of wrap up here, I was going to ask you about a baseball update, but the Reds really haven't played today. I know Billy Hamilton hit a home run last night, which was nice for my fantasy team, though.
Yeah. Don't have much of a baseball update because I'm in full-fledged football mode, but we are going to switch gears and turn it into the Big Cast keys of the game for each week. Keys of the game versus Oregon State. Don't play down your team. Don't play down the Oregon State's level. They are a very bad football team. They're going to come in playing hungry, but don't play down to them. I know it's week one. Number two key of the game, don't turn the ball over. You don't want to get a team like Oregon State any type of chance to get going. And right, to get Haskins, and then the last key to get Haskins comfortable in the pocket, get him comfortable, and ride Weber and Dobbins until the passing game opens up. And then the final key is win the game.
Yeah, my key to the game, Big Cass, is show up.
Just show up.
Show up. Do not sleep in. Do not. I know the beds in the Blackwell are very comfy, but just all you gotta do, guys. This is how you win the game. You ready, Big Cass? You set your alarm to like 8 a.m. You don't go to Bullwinkle's the night before, and you just kind of roll out of bed, and you just walk 100 feet across the street to the shoe. And there you go. That's how you win.
Exactly. Predictions of the game. I'm going to go, after listening to Tennessee Jeff, I think we get a couple field goals. I'm going to go with 52-7.
I'm going to go 52-7. I like that. I'm going to go, is it possible to score 55? Yeah.
Yeah.
55-10, because I think they score on our like second and third team defense at the end.
Yeah, that is it, my brother.
That is it, man. I mean, wow. Next time we do this show, man, we're gonna be 1-0. It's gonna be awesome.
We're gonna be breaking down the Oregon State game and breaking down the Rutgers game. I know that's not much to talk about, so tune in next week.
I know. Hey, you know what though? For after Oregon State though, I will be in Columbus for the Rutgers game. I will see you week two. Maybe a little bit of Tennessee Jeff. We're definitely gonna we have to record a segment or something. We'll figure out what we're gonna record during the pregame or something. It's gonna be awesome, Big Cass. But like always, man, thank you so much for doing this. Have an awesome trip to Purdue this tonight. That's going to be awesome. I'm jealous, man. I'm going to be watching that game. Quickly, who do you think wins that?
I got Purdue winning at home. I think they snapped Northwestern's winning streak. It all depends with Clayton Thorson. If he's going to play or not, we don't know yet. I guess we'll find out on our way up there. But I got Purdue at home. Close.
Awesome. Yeah, I got – hopefully that tight end on Purdue scores some points because I took him in fantasy. I did not, dude. I had no idea who I was drafting when it came to tight ends. It was the Iowa tight end, Big Cass, and like he was the top ranked tight end, and I'm just like, no way in hell am I drafting an Iowa tight end in the fourth round. I'll take a no name.
Yeah, you should have drafted Nick Farrell.
I think he's still out there. To be honest, I think he's a free agent.
Pick him up, or our other tight end, so
Rashad.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, folks. headed out the door, and I'm headed to West Lafayette. And go Bucks this Saturday.
Go Bucks, man. Drive safe. Have a great day.
Yep.
This has been a Bunch of Nuts podcast hosted by Armchair All-Americans. Take a seat with us.